Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We're talking college basketball, but not just us at the Charity Stripe. That's right, we have Kyle Boone of CBS Sports coming in, dropping in with the phone call to make sense of the whole mess that is the NCAA M this season. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
Clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game! Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitcher free throws, because they're furries. And I'm flanked on my ride by defensive coordinator Alex Tossing Me the Rock Tassopoulos. And like you heard in the introduction, we have a phone call with Kyle Boone that's recorded, and you guys are about to hear it today. But before we do, before we get into that phone call, which is a great phone call, and you guys should be super stoked about it, something else you should be super stoked about is a message from our sponsors that Toss Me the Rock is going to give you right now.
True Classic Tees. That was kind of a tease. That like, you know?
Yeah.
When was I going to come on kind of thing? Because Josh kind of, he elongated that introduction.
Yeah.
Which is not what I normally get, because you normally give it to Nikki Snacks Kreider.
Yeah,
it's which true. I'm still pretty hurt about, just generally.
It has to happen naturally, your introduction. You'll get it one day.
One day I will get it.
Maybe by episode 500.
Maybe, which would be the... What is that? What do you call that? The half I don't know, half millennial?
Half centennial?
Half centennial. Well, centennial would be 100.
I don't know what any of these mean.
I don't know. I don't know what anything means.
But I do know comfortable shirts.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I do too, because I shop at trueclassictees.com. Okay? trueclassictees.com. Right now I'm actually freaking out, Josh. Because no, I'm serious because
he's losing his mind. Why are you losing your mind?
I'm losing my mind because our dryer is not working. And you know what's in our dryer right now?
What's in our dryer?
All of my True Classic Tees. Our dryer's not working and I can't dry my True Classic Tees. I don't know why I washed and dried them all at the same time. Not very smart of myself.
No.
Because I wear them every single day because they are so comfortable.
They are wicked comfy.
They feel like an expensive shirt, but they're not.
Very inexpensive.
You can buy a 3-pack of these shirts for $32 and you can take 20% off by using the code BELEAV, BLEAV, for 20% off at trueclassictees.com. 20% off. Yeah, that's a lot of percentage. That's 20% of the total 100% of the amount that the t-shirts cost.
It's a fifth off. So it's basically like $26.
Fractional math. Nice.
Yeah, which is like, you know, you get like a not the sub of the day at Subway, a 12-inch sub. It's like 3 Subway sandwiches. So basically, you're getting 3 shirts for 3 Subway sandwiches. And I buy a lot of clothes, and that's a pretty damn good deal.
Yeah. So fix your dryers. Hope your washer is going well.
Two.
Wear True Classic Tees. You ever gotten something stuck in your throat
mid advertisement?
Oh yeah,
I could help you. I could help you finish. Wear True Classic tees, guys. TCT. go get those while Toss is dying. And yeah, just wear those tees. But more importantly,
let's talk some college hoops.
Let's talk some college hoops. We've talked enough about clothing. Kyle is a writer for CBS Sports, like we mentioned in the intro, for college basketball. Great insight. The phone call was amazing. We really had a great time, and we hope you guys enjoyed too. So without further ado, here is our show about college basketball with the Kyle Boone. All right, guys, as you heard in the introduction, we got Kyle Boone of CBS Sports on the line with us. He's a coffee aficionado and a hater of your team, as it says in his Twitter bio and any bio you could really find of the guy. Kyle, how you doing today, man?
I am good, man. I'm doing good. Glad to join you guys and talk some hoops.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Listen, this is a college...
Before we get into the hoops, though,
please, Toss.
What's your go-to cup of coffee? Like, what's your go-to order at any coffee shop?
Yeah, so I don't like Starbucks. That may sound weird, but I like to brew my own coffee. There is a coffee shop in New Mexico. It's called New Mexico Pinion Coffee. And I am just a strong advocate of them. I feel like I'm kind of a walking advertisement for them, but their coffee is so, so good. And I brew it at home, make, you know, a pot of coffee every morning, drink the entire thing. I feel like I'm like 90 years old telling you about this, but it's good. It's really good.
That's actually the best like plug and most random plug
that
I think
awesome. Yeah.
Anyone could ever have on a podcast. It's amazing.
I feel like you're the Walter White of coffee now, honestly.
I'm just waiting for like me to get sponsored by New Mexico Pinion. I hope that
if we could help, man, I'm happy to help with that. we'll shoot it over to their people if we can find them. No problem there. Yes, our intern's flipped around his monitor, and you can get a $10 now online. That's pretty good. We'll have to take a look at it.
It's not bad. There's a caramel blend. Mm-hmm. It's just killer. It's absolutely killer.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the insight on coffee. And now that you've given us help there, we need some help in college basketball. It's been a season unlike we've ever seen before. And honestly, for those who are really big time fans of the sport in the best possible way, I mean, obviously last year, though Zion, RJ, and Cam didn't get it done, they were a massive favorite throughout the tournament, and they really took up all of college basketball last year. It was the Zion show. And if it wasn't the Zion show, it was the RJ show. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. We love our Anthony Davises. We love our Carl Anthony Towns. Those guys are spectacles to watch. And when you have a guy like that, you know, I mean, we're a little young for the Hakeem Olajuwon, the Ralph Sampson days. But when you have guys like that in March Madness and college basketball, it makes for fun things to watch. But this year, it's kind of anyone's game. And we have our big conferences. The Big Ten has been, you know, what the SEC football is. They kind of tear each other apart, you know, mm-hmm. limb from limb. The Pac-12 has some guys that are under the radar because the Pac-12 network is in the entire conference is the worst covered conference, and whoever's the president of the Pac-12 should be canned, in my opinion. We have some guys over there, and obviously the SEC, you know, and the ACC, and across the board in our Big 12. But then we have guys like San Diego State, Dayton, who are top five teams. Obviously, Gonzaga has now moved to the blue chip program, but still, they're not in a Power Five conference. So if we can, I want to start there. What can we trust with these Creightons, with these BYUs, you know? What can we trust with these teams going forward? And can we really buy into them making deep runs into the March Madness tournament? Because that's where we're headed in less than a month.
I mean, we had an undefeated San Diego State team who just lost to UNLV this past weekend. And also, you know, you look at it's the same thing that we ask in college football, right? It's who are they playing? What is that level of competition? And is it anything in comparison to what they're going to see in the tournament?
Yeah, I love that personally that you brought up Creighton, because that's a team that I am strong eyeball emojiing going into March. I feel like no one is talking about this team, but their offense is legit. They are really, really deep. A team that I think I'm going to pick to maybe go to the Elite Eight, and they're 22-6. They are on an absolute tear right now, and probably not the Big East team that people are going to be trying to trust in the NCAA tournament, but a really good team, a really good offensive team, one that I think I trust. You use that word trust. There's some other teams that I think I generally trust too. Like I trust Dayton just because Obi Toppin is amazing, and that offense and the way they play, I think will translate to the NCAA tournament. I trust Kansas because I think their defense is legit. And Devon Dotson and Udoka Azubuike have just been a force. Beyond that, though, like, I don't really trust very many teams this year. And maybe that's just a product of this season and kind of just how hectic this season has been. Mm-hmm. But just in terms of trust level, like, I really am only kind of betting on like two or three teams that I think can realistically win it all this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair assessment.
That's a fair assessment for sure. I love how you kind of, you know, when my Obi Toppin comparison, and it may not be a great one, but I think it's a fun one, and you kind of back ended him with Kansas, I think he's like what I wanted Thomas Robinson to be, like that 6'9", that athletic forward. He's like, but he's like got that bounce, you know, he's got that quick pace that could really translate into the NBA. You have him, obviously, and then you have Trey Lanners and Watson, who are good 3-4 options. And I think Crutcher, we're finally seeing Jalen Crutcher get the respect he deserves. That guy is, yep. I mean, I think going deep into the tournament, you need that guard that can A, hit the three, and B, you know, kick it from the stripe. You know.
That was what I was going to ask. Is there anything in particular you're looking from a team-to-team basis that they need to bring to the table? For me, it's a playmaking guard who can knock down the three.
Yeah.
A big man who you can get post touches on and can clear guys in the paint and also rebound and be a defensive presence, whether it's blocking shots or at least just stepping in front of guys down in the paint. And then another shooter as well who can, you know, lighten the load on that main guard or main big man that you have. And then obviously, you know, it's got to all be tied together with a good coach. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the core that I'm looking at. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it varies team by team, right? Because, sure. Like, if you look at, for example, Michigan State is the team that you basically just described, like a team that has a great coach.
Kentucky.
They have a first-round prospect in Cassius Winston, who I believe will be really productive at the NBA level. But he's done it before. He took Michigan State to the Final Four last year. Xavier Tillman, we know, can be one of the most productive big men in the country when he's really clicking. San Diego State, they have a great guard in Malachi Flynn. Baylor, their defense is legit, and they go like 48 deep on the roster. And then Kansas, you know, they've got Udoka Azubuike, the best big man in college basketball. So, like, all these different teams bring something different to the table.
Yeah.
My personal preference when I'm, like, trying to scout and be like, all right, which team do I think can make a realistic run? Maybe it's just a product of me, like, growing up watching Kemba Walker do Kemba Walker things. I just trust a lead guard. Like, if they have an elite lead guard who can be a playmaker, a facilitator, and a scorer, I gravitate to those teams. And I think that's kind of why I really like Kansas right now. Like, I think Kansas is probably going to end up being the team that I picked to win it all.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I like San Diego State. And I think people are going to say, well, they're a little bit overrated and they're not in a good conference, but
yeah,
Malachi Flynn has been playing so well. Duke with Trey Jones. So, and going back to Michigan State, that's why I still, despite Michigan State's struggles, I still really like that team. So if I'm going to put some, like, just pick one thing, I think it's just like an elite lead guard who can create, facilitate, score, like, right, do everything for a team.
And especially at the end of games, late in the tournament, you're looking for a guard who's going to be your shot taker at the end rather than,
right.
I mean, Kansas, whatever you'll say about Azubuike, I mean, he's the most dominant big man in college basketball right now, but they're not going to give him a post touch with 15 seconds left. They're going to probably have Dotson running, you know, a pick and roll with him or something like that. Like, he's going to be driving that action at the end of a game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And they do have Marcus Garrett to kind of spell them. He was just a great long guard on that end. I think kind of the way you guys were talking here, I think that going back to that Creighton point, if we're going to really take a flyer in any of these, you know, non-Power 5 or Gonzaga-level teams like the Daytons, obviously, you know, we know what to expect from them. But between San Diego State, who's been a hot team all season, but Creighton has three guards, you know, who can rip it from three, who are averaging 10 plus a game. You know, they're a super, I think they're offensively, they're a dangerous team. Now, people say, okay, in the KenPom, they kind of try to favor the defensive side, but these are high octane offenses. How much weight are you putting into the KenPom rankings as far as that goes? Because looking at it, it's usually a good combination of both. If you're too skewed one way, it doesn't usually work out.
I use it as a reference, but it's not like my Bible. You know, I think college basketball diehards are like, you know, they live and die by the KenPom. I think it's pretty useful just to kind of see like where they're efficient and where they are not efficient and what they're good at, what maybe they're not so good at. But I kind of just tend to trust my eyes. Like if I see a team that I trust and I feel good about in the way they play and the way they gel, I kind of just like favor that more than just like, okay, well, Creighton rates number 14 at KenPom. Like I kind of trust my eyes more with that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And before we jump in, going kind of like power five by power five, two more teams I want to touch upon right here that are outside of the power five, Villanova and Gonzaga. Two teams that we've seen, obviously, you know, Gonzaga's gone to the finals championship, and then we've seen Nova do it in 16 and 18. Where do we see them this year? Because these are two teams that personally I'm loving and hoping I get a good position in the bracket that I can send them as far as possible.
Yes, I am pretty in on Villanova. I look at Villanova and I just keep kind of side-eyeing Sadiq Bey the way he's been playing. And
yeah.
I've talked to a few NBA scouts and they're just like gushing about this guy who, you know, coming into the season, I don't think was on the NBA draft radar at all. And now I think there's a chance he's going to be a lottery pick, and he's not maybe a shot creator, but he's like 6'8", 6'9", super long, can knock down three pointers, just kind of like a prototypical wing. And Villanova, the way they use him, they use him primarily on the wing, but he's playing the four some, and I think he's just kind of a difference maker. I think there's a chance he can go up a level and just be absolutely dominant for Villanova. But, you know, you look at Villanova's roster, and it's more than just Sadiq Bey. Jeremiah Robinson-Earl has been playing really, really well.
Yeah.
I obviously like their guards, and I feel like I always love Villanova's guards. They're just so tough, and they play really, really good team defense. And so I like Villanova for all of those reasons.
It's a good combination of upperclassmen and freshmen they have.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And so, and Gonzaga, I think, is kind of the same deal where, you know, I think their best player is probably Killian Tilly, but I like the way that I do. I talked to Matt Norlander, and he's talked to Mark Few earlier this season. And,
yeah.
You know, you look at the way that team has played, and Petrušev has probably emerged as the most productive player, and they've got some other good play from other players.
I'm a Kispert fan. I think he's so good.
I love Kispert. Yeah, but like that staff insists that Killian Tilly, when he's healthy, he's that dude. Like he is the guy. He is the best player, and if they're healthy, like if Killian Tilly basically is healthy, I am in on Gonzaga. I'm dubious that he can stay healthy for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. It seems like every
been the problem every the whole time,
every man. Week or two, basically the last 2 years, he's been banged up. But if they're healthy, I think they're going to be a great value in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean,
I was just going to say, yeah, you know, when you're looking at potential upsets, or at least the way that I look at it, when I'm looking at my bracket, when the time comes, I look at if a team, a lower rated seed, how they shoot from three, really, because if they can put up 15, if they can make 15 threes in a game, anything can happen, right? Yeah. They can upset any team. And for this Gonzaga team to be this good at shooting and also have all the other tools that, you know, a championship contender should have makes me really think highly of them. And I'm keeping an eye out, but obviously like what you're saying is so totally true about the injury. If Tilly's not going to be on the court, like, I just can't. I can't put them going all the way.
I think I have them if he's there going all the way. I just think it's tough for me. I think Udoka Azubuike is the best player in college basketball. He's just the dominant force down low, and he's too tough to handle. And if they get that pick and roll going, he's just completely lob city over in Kansas. The 74% from the field is just, you know, unworldly. But I like what you bring up with Villanova. I think Sadiq Bey is a good guy to keep an eye on. He's been uber productive, flying the whole Villanova team, I think, has been like shadily flying under the radar. They've dropped a couple games here and there, obviously, but they've still been that top 10, top 12 productive team. And Sadiq Bey could have that Cam Johnson level kind of rise based on what you're saying that we saw into the lottery if he has a good tournament.
Yeah, I love the Cam Johnson comp. I did not expect Cam Johnson to be a lottery pick, but I think it's definitely possible that Bay is that guy this year, the guy that goes from, you know, off the radar entirely to a first rounder. Just the way the NBA's played, they value length and shooting, and I think he can do that for Villanova and for an NBA team. It'll be fun to watch.
Absolutely. All right, let's just hop into some conferences right here. We got the ACC. The ACC is the pinnacle of college basketball. We see UNC, a team that many of us thought, I don't think any of us thought in our group that they would go to the Final Four, but a team that we thought would at least be competitive, Sweet 16, Elite Eight level team. They've had a year to forget, hopefully, and with the good influx of recruits next year, they kind of make that comeback. But the three big teams in the ACC have been Louisville, Duke, Florida State, and you have UVA waiting in the wings, a really hot Cavalier team. Of those three, four teams, who are you liking to go deep? Who's a kind of a pretender for you? Is there anyone else in the ACC we should be really watching out for?
I love Florida State, and you guys will have to keep me in check here because I tend to kind of favor teams that have NBA talent. And when I look at Florida State, for example, on I guess it was Monday playing Louisville, the way they played in the second half, the way they were gelling, the way Devin Vassell and Patrick Williams were playing, I just think they have too much talent. And it's going to be really tough for me to pick them to lose in the NCAA tournament. I'm sure it will happen. I don't think they'll win at all. But just their talent level is absurd. And I think they are definitely head and shoulders above everyone else in the ACC. And it's not a knock to Duke necessarily. I really like Duke's talent, but their consistency or their lack thereof is alarming to me. Yeah. And so for that reason, I'm kind of fading Duke, and maybe that'll end up kind of biting me in the behind, but I just don't trust Duke, and I trust Florida State a little bit more.
Yeah. I don't like, you want us to push back on you, but I'm having a tough time being able to do that. The one thing that I'll say is they're so good at home, and some of these teams that are so good at home, I wonder, when they get on the road, if that changes things. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, you look at any Leonard Hamilton coach team and you're like, yeah, they could make the Elite Eight for sure, because he's a great coach, and they're going to play gritty defense. And with Vassell finally being, you know, a high level scorer, Patrick Williams is amazing. He's awesome.
He's great. I like Trent Forrest too, though. Defensively, they're super gritty, and they can match up against, like, if they have to go up against, you know, a team like Baylor, who's kind of guard heavy, and you say they do run deep, and that is a problem. You know, fresh legs is always great, but a Jared Butler led team and a Matt Mitchell led team. I like this Florida State. I like the length. I think Devin Vassell is a lottery pick lock. I think he's going to be like, you know, some team's going to take a shot at him in like that 12 to 14 range, kind of like they did with Tyler Harrow, and they're going to come away with gold.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Like, I think he's probably like going to be a little bit higher than who we talked about earlier, Sadiq Bey. Like, I think the way that Vassell has been playing this season, the way his shot has really come along, he's going to be a lottery pick.
But he can defend too. Yeah. Like, he's like Harrow, but he can also play defense, which is an NBA, any NBA team's wet dream, honestly.
Mm-hmm. What about the defending national champs in Louisville? Do we expect a lot out of them? I mean, I'm not as high on Louisville. I know they have all the pieces, and on paper they look great. They just don't seem to put it together. I feel like they rely too much on Nwora late in the game, you know, and outside of that, I think they're a little young. In certain areas, like David Johnson, Williamson, you know, he hasn't materialized like I thought he would.
Yeah, I'm, it's kind of the trust thing again. Like, I just don't trust Louisville, and maybe I'm kind of skewed because I saw them blow like a 48-point lead to Duke last year, and I just have not been able to get that out of my system. And they did it earlier this week too, where they had a comfortable lead over Florida State, ended up blowing it. And I just feel like this team kind of lacks some pizzazz. Like, they don't have a guy that they really go to and trust. Jordan Nwora is, I think, their best player, but he's kind of shrunk in some big moments this season, and I think that's notable. And maybe he just had an off night a couple times, and we can sweep it under the rug, and they get to the NCAA tournament, and he's just amazing, and he's that guy. But I'm not buying it. Like, I kind of just want to see it first.
I mean, when was the last time where, like, a guy coming into the year who was supposed to be a Naismith contender disappointed during the regular season and then just turned it on in the tournament and took his team all the way there?
He's still been good, though.
He's been good, but there are other guys who have jumped him in the Naismith conversation. Oh,
yeah, the bigs have been dominating.
Yeah.
Garza has been, Luka Garza has been like a one-man wrecking. He was great to watch. You watched the game last night against Michigan State?
I did. Yes.
I assumed you did. You know, I didn't put me to put you on the spot. I know it is your gig. I assumed you did. But yeah, I think we could kind of, I guess, maybe transition to the Big Ten slowly. But yeah. I think it's just tough, man. I mean, obviously, I think everyone on the Louisville team kind of benefits from Wara. Whether he's on fire, they're going to be great.
Yeah.
If he's not, then the rest of the team's going to flounder. And when you have deeper teams, when you have your Villanovas, when you have, you know, your Creightons who can shoot the lights out of the place, or your Auburns, who we'll get into in a little bit, my favorite college basketball team, who could just run up and down the floor and kill you in transition, it's just going to be a tough, tough draw if that Louisville team is not on full cylinders. If they are, it's a difference. You know, they are going to be great. But if they're not, it's too up in the air. And so I think the point of trust is great. I think UVA is hot. If I may throw them out there, I just don't see them making any, doing anything splashy deep. I don't know. I think it's a fair bland take.
Yeah, I can't imagine Virginia making a run, and maybe the non-traditional way of how they kind of play the game with defense and just a terrible offense could actually happen. I don't know, but it's like such an extreme this year. Like going to KenPom, they are the number 4 rated defense in terms of adjusted efficiency. Offense, it's number 216. I would have to look, but I can probably bet that that's the biggest discrepancy between offensive and defensive efficiency in college basketball. So it's just, it's kind of jarring, but yeah. They still keep winning. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of Virginia right now.
Definitely a team where we were talking about this last night, if they slide in as an 8 or a 9 seed, then, you know, people are going to be looking for them to be that second round upset against the 1.
Yeah, I mean,
just by name and name alone,
I would be happy to throw them in as like an 8-9 against like San Diego State. No offense, I know you said you like them. I think the two of us have been having a tough time just because, you know, the schedule just doesn't lend itself. And I'd rather pick one of the other non notable teams or non like household name teams to really make a splash. You know, maybe like a Seton Hall. I kind of dig. I'm kind of into the I'm kind of into the Miles Powell game.
Yeah, talk about player of the year candidate right there.
Yeah, him. You know, there's so many shady guys. I mean, there's so many guys in the Pac-12 who low key could be player of the year. But going into the Big Ten, like, what the hell's going on there, man? It's insanity. it's insanity. Like one day, like Maryland. I mean, Mark, talk about trust. I don't trust Marky T as far as I can throw him.
Nope.
One of our friends out here in Los Angeles is like the biggest Maryland fan, really, really adapt with college basketball, knows his shit, like can keep up with us, happy to talk to him at the bar versus talking to a girl about college hoops. But the minute we get into the team that resides in College Park, it's just, you know, he's just a complete homer. And
The blinders are on.
And listen, I love Jalen Smith. What he's done is amazing. I think Anthony Cowan's great. But are they really the best team in the Big Ten, or is there someone else? Or can we trust, like, and speaking of trust, can we trust this Penn State team led by Lamar Stevens or this young Michigan?
Right, that's the same problem with Michigan too. Right? Yeah. I think, yeah. Go ahead.
Carry away and save my mind here.
I guess Maryland's the best team in the Big Ten. Nice. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're gonna win the conference, but like I just don't like that team. Like I just don't trust Mark Turgeon, and Maryland. I feel like it's pretty telling actually that most Maryland fans that I know, like my editor, Audie Joseph, is a Maryland alum. And I feel like for the most part, Maryland fans just kind of hate their team. And maybe they like this team, but they're just super like pessimistic. And maybe it's just because Mark Turgeon hasn't had a ton of success in the NCAA tournament. But I feel like their feeling towards this team overall and just like their general pessimism and like, oh, woe is me, something bad is going to go wrong. I feel like that just kind of lends me to believe that something is going to go wrong with Maryland. So I don't like that team.
Is it because Anthony Cowan's kind of a chucker? He just like like he's shooting less than 40%.
Yeah, he's a heaver. He's like the J.R. Smith of college basketball. But like, not, yeah. But not as ridiculous as a human being. So it kind of like doesn't
like. At what point does it like? Do I not care that someone's averaging 16 points a game when they're shooting less than 40%?
100%. That's the point. You don't care at that point. Yeah. At that point, if you're not efficient, I don't really give a shit how many points per game you're averaging. to be honest. I mean, again, like, I'm with you. I think that's, like, the best way to sell it. I look at this team, I go, you can play the lights out of the place, but then when you really need to close out games and you need, I don't care where the game's being, I don't care that it's held in Columbus, you have to go in and beat that Ohio State team. Ohio State's a good basketball team. Caleb Wesson is awesome. He'll probably finish, you know, top 10, top 15 in player of the year voting or rankings, and he's been great. Andre Weston's been also really good. Kyle Young, they have good pieces there, but they don't have DJ Carton, who's one of their best players. And right. If he's not in the game and you're supposedly the best team in the Big Ten, you have to go in there and take care of business for me to really buy into you, and they couldn't do that. I don't care what happens late in the game with Cowan. Still, you have to go in there and close things out. Like, I don't have any faith in them against this Michigan State team who really stuck it to, like Xavier Tillman was awesome against Luka Garza in the second half last night, and Rocket yep. Watts took over, and Cassius Winston was good, but really didn't have to do all that much. So I'm right. looking at this game on Saturday, and I'm going, okay, listen, it's in College Park. Everyone's going to show out. Anything could happen at home, and they are the favored team. But at the end of the day, I was in on Michigan State to begin with. I still think that's the best team. I love what Iowa has with Luka Garza. I think Lamar Stevens is a nice story at Penn State. Again, I'm not sold on those two teams. I think the issue with Michigan, though, going is not they're not as talented as, you know, as Gonzaga, but they are still, you know, pretty deep. The injury to Isaiah Livers has kind of had them fall off the map. But if he's healthy, I mean, that kid is awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. So I'm going to pick my two favorite Big Ten teams.
Please.
Number one, top of the list, I can't help myself, it's Michigan State.
Me neither.
No, we're with you, dude. It's okay. No one's going to judge you here. We're on the same page.
So this is a safe space here because I feel generally bad about it because they just have not looked good basically this entire month, and they're very, very frustrating to watch. Like, their offense, I feel like, should be, like, clearly the best in college basketball, and it's just like kind of okay. But you know, I think when it's clicking, we've seen it at times this season, it's looked really, really good. And they're not obviously like they're not like load managing like Kawhi style for March, but I do feel like they can take it up another level that they just haven't quite got to yet.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons, obviously, Izzo and all that, but I think they're my favorite Big Ten team, and I think they will go the deepest in March.
Yeah.
The second Big Ten team, I don't know if you guys are ready for this, it's Illinois.
Yes! And I just mouthed it to him. That's my team right there. That's my squad.
I love them so much.
I love them.
I am an IO truther, and I will never get off of that. Like, I just think he's a great college basketball player. I'm still a little dubious about, like, what he's going to look like in the NBA. But
sure.
When he's like firing and like Illinois is really clicking, I feel like with the way Coburn is playing and like their guard play is really, really good. And
Feliz is nice. He's a good compliment.
Yeah. Yeah. So like those are my two favorite teams. And I think I would probably bet on them going the farthest out of any other Big Ten team.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I love Illinois. I think with IOB, he missed a couple games, and that set them back a little bit and has allowed him to kind of float under the radar. But that Penn State game was super telling. Kofi has been dominant and kind of goes with Toss and Joy's good guard play, who can make it happen on his own with the big man, who can contend with other big men. I think that Illinois team, if they get in as like a 7 seed, and you know what, I'm feeling them versus Maryland in round two, I'm going to rip it.
Yes.
And I know you're going to rip it too, and we're going to ride that wave together. But yeah, I think those are great points. It's a great team to watch out for in the Big Ten.
I think, like, we're going to go into that Big Ten conference tournament, and I think Michigan State's going to win the tournament, and then they're just going to get hot at the right time.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to be riding the hot hand and take them deep into the tournament like we always do, and then they're not going to get there and close out. But that's my prediction.
I'm stoked to have a different bracket.
I have such a tough time betting against Tom Izzo.
I can't do it. Like, it's very rare that he drops the ball. I think we've
Yeah. feel like a little weird that like obviously Michigan State was preseason number one. I think there was absolutely a point earlier this season, I don't know when it was, but there was a point where we were discussing, at least among us at CBS, like, is this the most disappointing preseason number one team of all time. And like, they've obviously rebounded. I think they're having a fine season. They're going to the NCAA tournament. Like, it's definitely not as bad as the most disappointing team ever. But like, the fact that we kind of almost got to that point, it's kind of hard to rebound. Like, I have fully admitted I can't quit Michigan State. That's my team. But like, just the fact that, you know, they were in discussion as like just a terrible underachiever. You know, I think I'm going to keep that in the back of my head just for NCAA tournament purposes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to kind of wait on that. I mean, but I look at it like the Washington Nationals were supposed to blow the doors off of the NL East, even with a good Braves and a good Mets and a good Phillies team. That's a very competitive division in baseball. Not to cross sport this thing. I've just had a spring training fever on, and I'm just looking at the Red Sox player beat the shit out of the Yankees player across me on our flag. I mean, it's the Washington Nationals kind of snuck in as the wild card, and then when it was time to get hot, Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin showed up, and the lineup showed up. So I kind of am like, okay, listen, as long as, like Toss is saying, when they get hot at the right time, I could kind of roll with them. But I think it's a great point. They are very, very disappointing, you know, preseason number one, and I can't really recall a preseason number one that, you know, has been this up and down in a long time.
Right, yeah, just very, very enigmatic. Like, I still kind of don't know what to make of them. I'm just going to trust the talent.
Yeah, agreed. I think we've kind of hit on the Big 12 at the beginning. Outside of Kansas, a team we love, and outside of Baylor, who's got unbelievable – between Butler, Teague, and Mitchell, that three-headed monster guard play is lethal. And I think – and I look at them, I go, they're just like a not as long Kansas, to be honest. And that, at the end of the day, it could get them far as long as they're on the opposite side of the bracket. But when it comes time to toe against, you know, the Jayhawks, I still think they're in trouble. I just don't think they could beat that team. Plus, I think Scott Drew's a great coach. I just think Bill Self is a mastermind, and he never disappoints. That very rarely. He very rarely sends a team out there that doesn't show out. But outside of those two teams, like,
I think that Baylor is... I don't know. I'm not completely sold on them.
You kind of think they're chump change.
I don't think they're that good. I don't know. They don't have anyone down low who can really... Any team that has a competent big is going to eat them alive. I don't know. I'm not buying it. Maybe it's Baylor. Maybe it's because I'm a Longhorn through and through. But that... I mean, the Longhorns suck. Mm-hmm. So why does... This shouldn't have anything to do with that.
The Longhorns are just good enough that I'm... thinking Saturday against the Red Raiders, we could go in and upset them, and they're going to lose by 30, and I'm going to hate Shaka Smart even more. Dude, Kyle, it is like the worst. Being a Longhorn fan is like, it's like being a Cubs fan in like the early 2000s. You think you have it all together, and it's just a disaster, and every time they can let you down, they just do.
We'll probably win the NIT tournament this year.
100%. Back-to-back NIT champs. You could lock that in. I would bet a pinky that we even at least get to the Final Four of the NIT. But are there any other teams like the West Virginia, who, speaking of a team that's all like, they're like the, you know, they're like ironically the Virginia of the Big 12, I feel like, just all defense. And the Red Raiders are streaky as can
be. Is Jameis Ramsey good enough to let the Red Raiders make a run?
Yeah, could we trust any of these teams, or are we just kind of going Baylor Kansas here?
I'm fully ejecting on the entire Big 12 except for Kansas and Baylor. Okay, cool. I was looking at this earlier. I'm pretty sure we are, you know, it depends on, I guess, where OU, Texas, TCU, like those three bubble-ish teams go. There's a chance that, like, they only get four NCAA tournament teams in this year. And I'm pretty sure that would be the least amount since realignment, since Texas A&M bolted. And generally, like, I feel like the Big 12 is just kind of down this year. And I don't trust Texas Tech. I feel like they're a little bit streaky, like you guys mentioned. West Virginia... I like their bigs.
Yeah, I think they're a year away. They're like a year away from being good.
Yeah, like so I, you know, for that reason, like I'm only trailing Kansas and Baylor. The other teams, like, they could win a game or two, but like, I don't think they're legitimate threats at all.
Yeah. Yeah, and what do you I mean, you think Baylor, you think they could go all the way? You think they're a Final Four contending team?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes. I I think I'm personally offended that you called them like a shorter Kansas. Like, that's just so rude. I can't believe you said it. But
I didn't mean to shit talk anybody or offend anyone's height. I'm sitting here at 5'10 on a good day. So, no, you know.
I felt personally offended for Flo Thamba. That's my guy right there.
Yeah, the Baylor Mo Bamba.
Yeah, but I think their guard play is really good. I think their defense is really good, and I think that can carry them pretty far. It actually may be a pretty good comparison to call them like a not as long Kansas. And generally, like, I would definitely take Kansas over Baylor any day right now. But yeah. I still think Baylor has a run in them. And I think that the way the season has played out, the way they played, like, it's kind of hard to ignore the fact that they won 23 straight games. Like, just doesn't happen very often in college basketball. And they, you know, in a conference like the Big 12, even with the Big 12 being down, the way they've basically ran through the league is definitely notable to me.
Right.
Absolutely.
And those Big 12 teams they still have talented players on their rosters. And especially when they see that win column on the Baylor side, when they're playing against the Bears, they're gunning for him. They're going after him. You know, that's the big game for all those conference teams. So yeah, that's a good point. I like that point.
Yeah.
But I'm not swayed still. I don't know what it is.
I'll kick him to like the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they can't get that far.
I can't just ride it to the Final Four. Cause in the SEC,
I gotta trust my gut though.
Oh yeah. My gut in the SEC, I love Kentucky and I love Auburn. And I think LSU is like that 8-7-8 team that's just going to make that stupid, like, remember when South Carolina did it like 3-4 years ago?
Cinderella, yep. Thornwell.
Yeah, as a 7 seed. I could totally see LSU fucking doing that because Will Wade is like, he scares me, like, as a human being. Like, if I saw him, he's the kind of guy that I feel like walks around with like a Bluetooth in at Walmart, you know, or like at Whole Foods, like yelling at the top of his lungs without caring. He is just like, it seems like a crazy individual, and that kind of scares me. And Bruce Pearl is like his older brother, like the drunk uncle at the party or the barbecue. But Kentucky and Auburn are two teams I really love. Are you in on those guys, or is there one that separates of the two? Because I just think Auburn's, you know, they have Okoro, who is like that NBA guy that you love, that you've mentioned, really being into. Plus, everyone around him is a senior. So it's like that beautiful combination. And then in Kentucky, we have Maxey, who's been great, another great freshman. Nick Richards, who, you know, people are talking about being SEC Player of the Year. And then it's kind of interesting because usually, you know, Calipari is kind of cycling through his freshmen. But right now, like, Uzang, Whitney, you know, Keon Brooks, they've kind of taken a backseat, or a big-time backseat, and it's been like the upperclassmen with Ashton Hagans, and Emmanuel Quickley has been one of the hottest players in the country. So what are we feeling about the SEC with these two major teams, and as an LSU, should we be believing in LSU?
Yeah, I'm in on Kentucky, and like, you know, I think probably 2 or 3 months ago I would have said, like, I'm only in on Kentucky if Tyrese Maxey like emerges as the go-to guy, the John Wall of this class, and that has decidedly not happened. What has happened is Emmanuel Quickley has turned into like a first-round prospect, and he's just been awesome, and probably going to be the SEC Player of the Year. And I did not see that coming, but it has been a very welcome surprise, obviously, for Kentucky. But, you know, just I like the way this team has kind of developed and emerged with Richards and with Quickley, and the way Ashton Hagans plays defense. Like, I'm just in on them. I think that they have the goods to go all the way. They're the team that I definitely favor in the SEC. And then I think there's like a tier two with Auburn and LSU. And I think the tier separation between Kentucky and then Auburn and LSU is significant to me. Okay. And maybe you guys will pick bones with that. But I feel like Auburn's kind of just been playing with fire most of the season, and they haven't kind of got burned. You know, they've played in 1, 2, 3.
Every game is so close.
Four overtime games, including one double overtime game. Five overtime games.
Yeah.
And they've won all five of them. They play a lot of close games and they keep winning, and maybe like they just know how to win close games. Like, that would probably be what Bruce Pearl would tell you, but
for some reason it doesn't feel like that.
Yeah, it just doesn't. Like, I think they're a good team, but they're not a great team.
Yeah,
I think when your best player is, to me, yes, probably going to be a top 10 pick, but a project pick, like very clearly sure, but a prospect. Is he the
best player right now that we're relying on?
I mean, I think he has to be the best player in the tournament.
Or McCormick. I think, but if McCormick and Samir can kind of get things flowing and going, and I know I'm sticking up for them because they were my preseason Final Four pick, and then just been.
Yeah, but you got to defend them.
I know. This is the same team pretty much that went to the Final Four last year.
They can't shoot, though. They don't have Bryce Brown.
They do not have Bryce Brown, and they are missing that shot, and that does worry.
How many clutch shots did Bryce Brown hit for the Auburn Tigers last year?
It was biblical.
Every single one.
If it wasn't for Carson Edwards, it would have been the Bryce Brown show, 100%. Yeah. You know, but the thing is with them is I think they play fast enough and well enough defensively that they could at least skate by. But I do agree with you. I think that Kentucky team is just so deep, and I think Calipari has like the right pieces to kind of get things going. And I would love to see Maxey take over. I really would.
Good for Emmanuel Quickley, though. I mean, coming in as he was a top 25 prospect, a 5-star recruit, was supposed to be the guy right from the jump, and he wasn't. And now he's kind of like brought himself back.
It's so funny. Like last 2 weeks, I mean, I think it must have been like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said to you, what about Emmanuel Quickley? And you go, that guy's been a disappointment. And
he has been.
And as literally as Toss said that, boom. Like, you know, he had been completely.
And then, of course, in classic fashion, the next play had an and one in a clutch moment.
Dude, when we first started this podcast, it was like 4 or 5 months before March Madness. And for like 2-3 months, I had been saying UVA is going to win the whole thing. And in classic fashion, that's when they lose to UMBC. Just like for months, I had been like riding them all over them. But it's just so funny how that thing goes. And then we'll kind of kick it with the Pac-12. I mean, dude, it's honestly unfortunate in the Pac-12. I just think there's so many good teams that can actually do damage because we talk about, you know, Peyton Pritchard, who's averaging 20-plus a game and he's going 24-5 with a steal. No one's talking about him as National Player of the Year. He's completely getting glossed over. Honestly, I would be shocked if any average college basketball fan knew who Remy Martin was, who's dropping 19 a game, you know? And then you have Colorado, a team I think could be sneaky and cause some problems. And Arizona, I don't know, man. Arizona, to me, Sean Miller is the best recruiter, worst coach.
Yeah, that's probably fair. That's probably fair. I feel like this team is like, they should be at like 25 wins, and they're at like 18, 19.
Just
the talent level that he has there is absurd. Like probably 3 first-rounders, and they seem primed for like a first-round upset. Like I don't like this team.
Yeah, I mean Mannion is the kind of cerebral guard you want.
He's exactly what we're talking about.
Like Najee, and so is Najee, and so is Zeke. Yeah. He's like right there, and then Josh Green doesn't have to do that much, but he could, you know, if he has to step up, he can score 12, 13 points a game and really get it done. It's just like I want to go to that recruiting visit that he must send these kids on because it has to it must be so fucking fun that everyone looks past the fact that you're going to get bounced in the round of 32 and be a disappointment.
It's the Jesus Shuttlesworth treatment. It has to be
100%.
It has to be.
But between Colorado, Oregon, or Arizona State, 3 teams that'll make the tournament. Oregon is obviously going to be a higher seed. What are we thinking with these guys right here?
I like Colorado of those.
Yeah, me too.
I like Tyler Bay. Like I feel like that defense is really good. McKinley Wright, when he is really rolling, like I think that this team probably has the highest ceiling of all of them. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't know. Maybe I'm misspeaking because I actually like Oregon a little bit more. I like both of them, I guess. But yeah, I think Colorado is probably the team that is maybe under discussed and is going to be kind of brushed aside of those, and the team that I think I'm going to feel smart when I pick them to go into the NCAA tournament and win a couple games because just I don't think anyone generally knows about Colorado, but this is a very good Colorado team.
100%. No one knows about them at all. I mean, they're, you know, Emright 4 has been great. He's another good guard, veteran guard. And then Schwartz and Bay are long, dude. Bay is like out. He's athletic as hell, man.
Yes.
He's like getting boards and buckets like nobody's business. And all Schwartz has to do is just be like the number three guy. I think Peyton Pritchard has to have an Aaron Kraft-like run, which he does have in him. You know, he just looks like Aaron Kraft, reminds me of Aaron Kraft.
He scores so much better than Aaron Kraft.
I know, it's like kind of the opposite. Kraft's a defender, and he's like the offensive player, but it's just like he just gives me serious Aaron Kraft vibes. But he kind of has to have that moment where it's, like, I guess, Carson Edwards, where he takes over, in a sense. And if he doesn't, they're not going to win.
Yeah, I don't remember. You guys can maybe help me. I don't remember which game it was earlier in the season. I feel like it was Arizona. It was Oregon dueling with someone late in the game, and Peyton Pritchard was going right. Oh, I think it was Michigan, actually. And Peyton Pritchard was just going right at Xavier Simpson, and it was just incredible. Like, Peyton Pritchard, when he decides he wants to take over a game, he can take over a game. Yeah, and I think that's going to have to happen.
Yeah, we saw it against Arizona this past weekend. He dropped 38 a game, which is, you know, every night in the NBA. But in college basketball, it's just,
something special.
We still have some semblance of realistic hoops going on, you know, where it's not everyone's dropping, you know, 50 a game and losing, which was ridiculous on Bradley Beal's part. They beat Michigan at Michigan. Or was it, was in a tournament, I think, or one of the two. But yeah, he had a great game against them. He has to go off for them to really be serious. And I don't know if USC is going to get in, but Okongwu will be a really fun player just to watch in the tournament because I think he's sweet.
Yeah.
Talking about
prospect there.
I'm excited about Okongwu. I hope that they get into the NCAA tournament just for that reason. Another guy that I don't think people are generally all that aware of, but like probably going to be a top 10 pick, like just super long, a great shot blocker. Like I think probably the most instinctive shot blocker in college basketball. And like he's a pretty good offensive player too. Like I don't think people are giving him enough credit for that, but USC is kind of hit and miss this season, I guess would be kind of the polite way to put it.
Yeah.
And so I hope they get in just for that reason. Like I want to see him in the NCAA tournament. But I guess we'll kind of wait and see how they finish the season.
I would love for them to play Baylor. I would love.
That's exactly what you want over
that's
there.
That's exactly what I want. All yeah.
Right. Couple more. Yeah, please, Alex.
I would love if Kyle, if you could give your top five teams right now.
You're 4-1.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I know I'm putting you on the spot.
You could go 4-2. We give you like four, your final four teams plus two teams that could shade your dark horses.
Okay. Should I rank them in order?
Yeah. Go for it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because we're going to do it side by side probably on the gram with you tomorrow, if that's cool with you.
Yeah.
Amazing.
All right. So, my number one team that I am picking to win it all, Kansas.
Okay.
Number two, Baylor. Number three, Dayton. Number four, Seton Hall. Number five, Michigan State.
Nice.
I love it.
I like that too.
It's probably not a traditional order, but I feel like there's money to be had there with Dayton and Seton Hall. Like those two teams, the depth they have, the experience they have, they're star players. Like I love Seton Hall. I love Dayton. I'm picking them to go to the Final Four, I think.
And I think because of the name of both, because of both of those schools and who they are, and that a lot of people who are going to be making brackets don't necessarily know how good they really are.
Yeah.
They're going to pick them to get bounced, to get upset. So I think those are both really good picks because I think they can go deep.
Do you have a five? So we don't have to leave our guy hanging here.
Yeah, we can give our fives too, Josh. Yeah. You go first.
Me go first. All right, Gonzaga is my one.
Okay.
Kentucky is my two. Over there, I got Kansas three. I'll go Michigan State four.
Yep.
And just to be like a complete wild card, and you've hyped them up for me, and I'm in on them. I'm going Creighton five.
Love it.
I'm going to go weird.
Wow. Okay, so I have to go now?
Yeah, you do have to go now.
Ugh, okay.
So no Texas.
Dude.
No
Texas.
Yeah, we already said they're winning the NIT. They're winning the NIT.
If it was the NIT, it would be a different story.
Wait, so are those are your five? Yeah, to win.
My 4-1, yeah.
Your 4-1, okay. So mine, crazy. But it's part of it is just because I love watching this team play, and they have that guard that we were talking about, and I think he's going to be better than his brother who made a clutch shot for his team to win a national championship.
Oh, man.
Duke's my number one.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Please, don't let him drink the Kool-Aid.
Just let me do it.
Let him drink the Kool-Aid.
As long as Vernon Carey doesn't get into foul trouble and he stays on the court in the tournament, I think you're gonna. I think they're gonna turn it up.
I love them. I really do. I think on paper they're great, but my only issue is, and I think it's a massive issue, is look at all the games they've lost are against mediocre and crappy teams.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Which is what they're gonna be seeing in the first and second round.
But
prime for upset.
No, I totally agree, and I'm taking some
boom
of
or bust.
I'm taking some of the analysis out of it, and just some of the gut and fun, and putting that in there. Kansas is my two, then Dayton, then Michigan State. And then, if I'm picking a fifth team, it kind of has to be like a dark horse. Like,
sure.
So I'm picking a team to get hot, and I think I'm gonna ride with you, Josh, in the Auburn Tigers. I think if they get hot and they can consistently in the tournament, I think they're Bruce Pearl's a great coach. I think if they can, and I was bashing them earlier, but if they can average like 10 more points on the fast break than any other team in the tournament. Like, if they can do that to their opponent, not than any other team, because that's ridiculous, then they can really make some noise.
Yeah, crush teams.
Yeah.
Shove it down their throat.
Which will hopefully, for them, compensate for their lack of the three ball.
And I will give a shout-out to Villanova, because they've been my seventh behind Auburn. Yep, that's what I would do right there. And just so you know, we have a third co-host who couldn't make it this afternoon, but he is the biggest San Diego State fan, and like all San Diego teams. Dude, he thinks the Padres are going to win the World Series every year. It could be me. I could be their number one starter, and he'd feel that confident.
And then one more little list, and this one doesn't have to have as much thought in it, but just five players that people need to be looking out for the NBA draft to make big splashes in the tournament this year.
That's a great question.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to start with Duke and go with Vernon Carey.
Okay.
I think.
A lot of people have him like late 20s right now. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think he's going to jump up?
I think he's going to end up jumping. I actually had Trey Jones ahead of Vernon Carey for a while, but I think scouts have kind of flipped on that. I feel like they kind of would prefer, depends on, obviously what fit and what they need, but I think Vernon Carey's going to end up being drafted higher.
Okay.
Number two, Obi Toppin from Dayton.
Yeah.
A guy that, has gone from, he's kind of like the Ja Morant of this year, right? Like gone from completely off the radar, like super, super athletic last year, but maybe not an NBA prospect, to this year, like super athletic. A more diverse offensive arsenal, and like definitely the best player on a top five team.
If right? I may jump in really
you think,
quickly.
You think he'll be a top five pick?
I think I was going to ask something a little crazier. With Cole Anthony being out, like an extended period, with Halliburton, Halliburton was in that conversation, is like that, the outside guy to jump in. I think he's really good, by the way. But he's now injured.
Right.
Wiseman's missed time. Anthony Edwards, obviously, I think, is in LaMelo are the best players, but LaMelo has like the weird baggage that I think will scare some teams away despite the talent. And then you could have a team like the Warriors, who has Klay coming back and Steph coming back. They have Andrew Wiggins over there. Can they get crazy if they have the one pick? Is that a plausibility?
Obi Toppin?
Would that be wild?
And run Draymond at the five? I'm also just hot take, and this is NBA related, but I think the Warriors could easily be back in the finals next year.
Yeah, for sure.
I would bet on it. If I were the Warriors, I think I would prefer James Wiseman to Obi Toppin.
Yeah.
But in a vacuum, I would take Toppin over Wiseman. I think Toppin is going to end up being a top four pick. I cannot name any more players that are better than him. I like LaMelo Ball. I like Anthony Edwards. Like, I think the top of the draft is pretty good, and you can take some dart throws, but Toppin, just in terms of what he can bring immediately, he's just super smart, super athletic. Like, I think his versatility is just going to translate. So, he's a guy that I think can take Dayton a really long ways, and I see him being a lock for the top five.
Yeah, pay attention to Obi. Okay, three. Who's your third guy?
Okay, Cassius Winston, Michigan State.
Yeah,
6'1" point guard. We've already talked about him, but a guy that you guys are in LA. I am praying that this guy ends up on the Lakers. I think he's going to be just a perfect fit in LA.
Learn under Rondo. Not bad.
Yeah. Just kick Rondo to the curb.
He's just such a good game manager.
Yeah.
He's such a good game manager. He's got such good poise for how young he is. Like, if he were coming into the NBA, that's how I'd be talking about him. Can hit the three and also can get you a bucket. But just like that guard that you I would guarantee he would have a long career in the NBA as a solid backup point guard.
It's like they're not the same position or same maybe the same position, but not the same size. But it's just the cerebral, the savvy, and the IQ that Malcolm Brogdon has that no one should have slept on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the fact that he could shoot the three like very, very well.
Huge.
I think that just plays perfectly for off sure. of LeBron.
Yeah.
How many have I named? Three or four?
That's three.
You have two more.
Okay. Next one, let's go Devon Dotson from Kansas. Don't necessarily know if he's going to be a first rounder, but I think he might just end up being the fastest player in the NCAA tournament when we get there. Mm. And the way he creates offense, the way he kind of manages Kansas, it's already a problem for teams. Kansas is 25-3. They're probably going to win the Big 12. And I think it'll be a problem in the NCAA tournament too. So it'll be fun to watch him play. The praise and all the hyperbole will probably go towards Udoka Azubuike, but Dotson, just the way he plays defense, the way he pushes the pace, a guy that I think could end up being kind of a guy that rides a wave with a strong NCAA tournament and kind of pushes into that first round discussion. Mm. That's four, right?
Yeah, four. One more? Yeah, one more, man. Okay.
Fifth one, Isaac Okoro. That we've talked about earlier. He yeah. is maybe not the guy on Auburn, and I kind of hope that he's not the guy. He's not ready to be the guy, but you know, he's just the way he plays. He's 6'6". He's just like a perfect NBA wing. I think he's going to be a good shooter. When the shot comes, he's going to end up being one of the most productive players in this class. He's a great, great, great defender, really yeah. a game changer. And the way that Auburn plays, pushing the pace, they run transition, I think it's perfect. He's going to make a difference in the NCAA tournament. And yeah. Auburn, they could make a run. I'm fading them, but Let's I think go. They could make a run.
Yeah,
we're going to
yeah.
buy into
I just,
it.
Yeah, and again, like I'll bring it up. My one concern with him is that he is a project, and we've seen projects flop once they get to the NBA.
I just hope he doesn't become Wesley Johnson.
I don't think, yeah. It's like one of those situations.
I hope it's like, because Wesley Johnson's like the bad, what he could be. But he could totally, like, he's 6'6", he's 6'7", whatever, grow a little bit. He's athletic.
Isn't it defender, interesting that, like, what was in the beginning of the early 2000s, late 1990s, was like the swingman era, right? And now we're that's kind of that's a super valuable piece for any NBA contender.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Once again, that's becoming the valuable piece.
I mean, if the Jazz.
You look at Tatum and yeah. Brown, you look at PG and Kawhi.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. 100%. Yep.
I think if the shot falls, and maybe that's kind of a bigger if that I'm giving it credit for, but if he becomes like a average 3-point shooter,
yeah,
he's going to be a great NBA player. Like I think you could say that he's a project, I guess, but like
more so than like Obi is what I'm saying. But yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that. But the way he kind of impacts the game at every level defensively, he's so versatile, he's switchable, and I just think that translates immediately.
I agree.
Hope he's not, I mean, it actually wouldn't be that bad if he's similar to Jonathan Isaac. I mean, I know he's 3 inches shorter, but I feel yeah. like from a player standpoint, from a raw talent standpoint, it seems like somewhat of a similar situation.
Yeah, as long as he's healthy.
Yeah.
Isaac's great defensively, as long as he's healthy, though. I think if he's on the Cavs, like if the Cavs have like the 5th or 6th pick, unfortunately for them, but if they have the 5th or 6th, they take him, and they could kind of move Kevin Porter Jr. to the bench with Darius Garland and kind of have that going off the bench, then yeah. I think things change for them big time, and he's just a good defensive player to go next to Sexton as like a 2 or 3.
I love that, though. Love those 5.
Yeah, great 5. Great call, man. Thank you. You've kind of put our minds at ease and hopefully our listeners' minds at ease. Really great insight to have a backbone to college basketball. It's been an amazing season, and I think the tournament's going to be one for the books. Seriously, I think people just have to buy into it.
Yeah, this was fun, man. I'm glad you guys had me on, and hopefully we'll be able to do it again. Hopefully – this is actually what I'm hoping. I'm hoping my predictions are right. These
yeah.
are going
to
age pretty terribly.
We're going to come back. We could come back after March Madness and do it again and run it back and see how we did.
Let's do it. Yeah,
amazing.
That sounds good.
That would be great, man. That we would really love that. And also, before I let you go, I just wanted to thank you because after reading some of your articles, Trace Jackson Davis on Indiana, I'm in on him. That he is good, man. He is a baller. You've turned me on to him, so I wanted to thank you for that.
He's great. He's super efficient. I love Trace Jackson Davis. We didn't talk about Indiana, and maybe that's my fault. But that's a good team. Like, I think in the NCAA tournament, they can win a couple games.
Yeah, because like an 8 seed or 7 seed, they could get hot. But yeah, thank you so much. Great stuff. We love talking to you, brother. And then, oh yeah, where can we follow you, man? For everyone listening out there, yeah, please. Yeah.
So you can follow Twitter. It's Kyle double underscore Boone. And I think that's the same as my Instagram. People probably don't want to follow my Instagram because it's just like pictures of my newborn child. But
oh, congrats, yeah, man.
I hope that that's amazing. Yeah,
I'm, Toss loves babies.
Babies are babies so are great. Cute.
When was your newborn born?
16 days ago.
Dude, oh my dude. Gosh. Congratulations.
As we say in the Jewish religion, Mazel Tov, baby. That's awesome, man. That's great.
Yeah.
Congratulations. February 8th was the day?
February 10th.
10th.
Or, yeah. February
10th. That's a great, great.
So,
putting him on the spot.
Nah, sorry, man. He passed.
Oh, man.
He's dad. Yeah, he's dad of the year. He passed. That was my math. Yes. That was bad. I thought we were February 14th. I'm like, 24th.
No, so I've
lost.
I've been pumping that coffee, that New Mexico Pinion coffee.
How we started, full circle. You're like a comedian.
That's right. Amazing. That's right.
Kyle, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, brother.
All right. Thanks, fellas. We'll catch up soon.
Sounds good, man. Be good.
All right. See ya.
Bye. Great episode. Really loved it.
Amazing. Amazing. Hope you guys liked our picks.
Yeah, I hope you guys like our
picks.
Or
hope you didn't. And if you didn't, tell us about it.
Yeah, or our analysis. I hope you liked the show more than you liked the ad read we did.
Garbaggio.
Not our best, but that's what
but
we...
But True Classic Teas really are the best, though.
Yeah, they are great. And we live and we learn. And we're just growing every day. And to the fans out there, swinging a full count. Drag both feet inbounds, rip the puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they free, fill out your March Madness brackets because that's coming up soon, and hit your free throws. Why, Toss?
Because they're free.
Because they're free. We outcha. We love ya.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.